Welcome back to another episode of Vanguard Radio. I'm your host, J. Richard Jones. C4ISR is an important part of military operations and process. As many of you know, Vanguard is the host of the annual C4ISR and Beyond 2020 event. In fact, it's just a few weeks away, taking place on January 28th in Ottawa at the Westin Hotel. Today, we're going to focus in on C4ISR a little more, and we've got a unique opportunity to speak with one of the moderators at this year's event. So to set the scene, our guest today is responsible for the panel on the legal, intelligence, and ethical perspectives of surveillance with a focus on associated opportunities and challenges. He is no other than Lieutenant General D. Michael Day, retired. Many of you know him as Michael Day. He joined the Canadian Forces in 1983 and had the privilege of serving and commanding within his regiment, and spent the majority of his career as an operator within Canada's counter-terrorist and special forces community, commanding both Joint Task Force 2, or JTF2 as it's known, and Canada's Special Operations Forces Command. He was deployed operationally to Africa, the Balkans, the Middle East, and Afghanistan, and was responsible for the preparation, training, and oversight of NATO's response force with distributed command throughout Europe. He has served in a variety of senior staff appointments, including the Canadian Armed Forces Senior Military Officer in Defense Policy Group, and the Chief Strategic Planner for the CIF, where he also oversaw the development of the Department of National Defense's Space and Cyber Programs. After retiring in September 2015, he began consulting with many companies, with a particular focus on the tech sector, specifically ISR, space, and cyber. Mike, thank you for joining us here at Vanguard Radio today.
Yeah, thanks very much. It's great to be here.
So you're moderating a panel on the legal, intelligence, and ethical perspectives of surveillance with a focus on associated opportunities and challenges. Can you tell us a little more about what this panel is going to be about?
Yeah, so this is obviously trying to get our arms around some of the operational, legal, moral implications of collecting, analyzing, using, promulgating data, if you will. We all recognize in today's society that data really is, whatever analogy you want to use, it's the new oil, it's the new gold, whatever the case is. And too often we think about ISR in quite simplistic terms, in terms of either planes or drones or UAVs. But when we break it down, intelligence, surveillance, reconnaissance, it's really about hoovering up as much data as possible. And now, of course, there's just a tremendous number of different ways that you can access, you can gain that data. So what the panel is going to be focusing on, and what our three experts, we've got some great panelists, they're going to really talk about some of the complications associated with that, so that, you know, our target audience can really think through as they build capabilities, as they offer capabilities, they've got some of these considerations baked in so that they don't build the perfect machine, but one that can't be used just because of those issues. They actually build the machine that the government says, wow, you've really considered all of those thorny issues we have to get our arms around. And that's what we're going to try to expose.
That's a big job. With 5G coming in and artificial intelligence, does that play a role into some of the policy and the legalities around this?
It does. I would say on 5G, although technically it's a generational change. I'm not a tech guy, but I pay a lot of attention to this sort of stuff. I won't go into, I'm the wrong person to go into some of the significant challenges between moving between 4G and 5G. It's not as simple, quite frankly, as moving from 3 to 4. We all know that. The challenges actually remain the same. The scope, the depth of the challenges is what actually changes, because of course in a 5G world, in the using the Internet of Things as just as an example, you've got exponentially more data. Let's use an example. Car collecting data, right? So if we perceive the future being filled with these autonomous vehicles that are not only supposed to be more efficient, but more effective, safer, et cetera, you know, that's all based on a constant stream of data moving between not just the car and cars surrounding it, but its environment and sort of the overall network. Well, that network's going to be surveyed. Is that open source intelligence? How is it going to be collected? How is it going to be processed? How is it going to be shared? So as industry thinks about those sorts of platforms, they have to consider not just, quite frankly, the operational aspects of getting the vehicle to run safely, et cetera, et cetera. You have to think about privacy. You have to think about, you know, what information you're going to be required to share by regulation. What happens if there's accidents? What happens if the vehicle's been used by crime, et cetera? So the complications as we turn into a increasingly digital world are going to be exacerbated by 5G.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. And some of the discussions that I've had when they talk about 5G or the autonomous vehicles, the other side of the coin is it's a position of building trust with the consumer. And, the case is made that we should be more accepting of this kind of as we move into a new era, I guess, if you will. But I think there's going to be a lot of challenges with that. I think in some of the other countries that have access to 5G, the types of apps and things that they will be making and developing too will create a different type of security values. Would you agree with that?
I think so. And what this does, and certainly we'll be talking about that, not just the security values, but what will be the demand for encryption as an example? What would be the demand on industry to keep that encryption up to date? Who has lawful access, including backdoors? And that's a present day conversation.
Oh, very much so, yeah.
You know, and the Transparian rule sets are around those issues. It's not just resetting the lens on our sense of privacy, the trade-off between not just security and privacy, which has been, quite frankly, the ongoing debate, but people in terms of their use online consciously make the most uninformed decision ever, which is I agree. When they click the I agree icon, this issue of proportionality of access as well, in terms of degree, the scope, the depth, the type of information access, how it's used, where is it subsequently stored, etc. I think industry needs to have the responses to these issues baked into their product, but baked in such a way that it can constantly evolve, because we're just scratching the surface of this issue. And we all know that the conceptions used today to determine what is and isn't going to be accessible, what isn't or isn't fungible, will be different in 5 or 10 years as we live through this evolution, right? So, you know, that raises the questions then of what truly is OSINT, open source intelligence collection? You know, we have this conversation about Facebook right now, as an example, and that is a surveillance piece. And so as industry thinks about web crawlers, as they think about hoovering up electronic signals, whatever the case is, I think what the panel is going to be really focused on, just how dynamic this is going to be as we don't make it up on the fly, but as it continues to evolve. Once we start to get legal rulings on some of this, that then, of course, starts to become precedent. But, of course, because the operating environment is changing so very quickly, it begs the question of how long precedent will stand, because the changes are so significant as to make the previous precedent, not really an analog or not really a useful, construct to think about the future.
You know, that's so true. That's such a valid point, because it's evolving so quickly. It sounds like you're going to have a really dynamic panel. Can you share with us some of the people that are going to be on it and some of the points?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've tried to build this panel so that we get three quite specific perspectives. And what we've done is we've brought on somebody who's got Leia West, who's at University of Carleton at NIPSI at the moment. She's a professor there, and her background is great for this. She started in the Canadian Forces. She ended up going back taking a law degree. She worked in the legal department. She's gone back on the academic route now. And she really is all over some of those legal aspects that the industry is going to have to address. Our second panelist, Jessica Davis, is gone back to school now, but she's a previous government analyst, and she runs her own intelligence business as well. So she's kind of bringing, if you will, the trifecta of experience. She's been in government as an intelligence analyst. She has run her own business. She still does. And she's in academia. She's going to talk about the fungibility of intelligence, how it's treated, some of the issues that we're facing, because that really is the product, isn't it? Right? The product isn't those things that acquire it. The product actually is the data itself. And so she speaks, both Leigh and Jessica, speak quite often on a number of different forums, national TV, national radio, et cetera. And our third is Stephanie Carden. Stephanie, I'm sure the vast majority of our audience knows that. She is one of our leading national security experts. She's not only a professor at NIPSI, she's worked in government. She really probably is the leading commentator at the moment in terms of trying to understand the implications of some of the specific things, that Jess and Leia will talk about. So and for any of our audience who have heard them, these are three tremendously dynamic, informed, and they're not afraid to tilt at issues. So I'm expecting a lot of to and fro, and I know they've done a lot of preparation on this. We had a great preparatory session. I just kind of sat and listened and absorbed. So I think we're going to be tremendously well served here.
Well, it certainly sounds like a great lineup. And I mean, really, this panel alone would be reason to attend the event. Are there going to be any takeaways from this? Like, what can our attendees expect to walk away from in terms of understanding from this panel?
Right. So I think without serving up the answers ahead of time, here's where I think, people will walk away with notes on their page and go, okay, I really need to think through what they've said. And the first is the dynamic nature of the operational, legal, and moral implications of what they're doing. And making sure that as they continue to offer up capability to government, that there's a dynamic process of evolution. I think that's first and foremost. I think secondly, it will reinforce, for the target audience, something they already know, but it will give them some concrete examples of just, we're very much in the world of exploration, the world of the unknown. And as a consequence of that, there are just some questions that we know the questions are there, but we just don't know the answers. I think one of the jobs of the panel is to help itemize a number of the questions for industry so they can actually focus some of their talent and some of their efforts. And by the way, go back to government and demand answers to those sort of questions. So I think, those will be, two of the major takeaways. And I think we'll have a couple others that I'll just tease people with and say there's more to come on in some of the things we're going to discuss.
I think that's those are great takeaways for sure. C4ISR and Beyond 2020, I think, has been around for a number of years now in Ottawa. It's my understanding that it's the only event of its kind. Mike, if I were to ask you, what people should consider and why they should attend this event, what would you say?
Right. So I've been involved in this event, although I've moderated a couple of panels, I've sat on a couple of panels, et cetera. Here's and why I'm keen to do that is because it gives me the sole time in the year where I'm able to get together with practitioners, whether it be industry or government, with academics, with people who were focused on the issue of data collection and all the implications associated with that. You know, if we accept that data is the new oil or the new carbon, you know, there are surprisingly few areas where you can go to talk with people who spend their life thinking about that, that can add value to the conversation. Look, you know, climate change is a reflection of our time. There's 1,001 climate change symposiums. Big energy is an associated issue. There's 1,001 places you can go to have these conversations to make sure that you're up to date on the issues. This C4ISR conference, even in Ottawa, where you would have thought that this is a, you know, sort of, you know, something that's readily accessible, it's the only forum that I've come across, you know, that focuses on these issues that, quite frankly, are going to be life-defining in terms of how we live our lives, how we interact with our government, how we produce new sectors in industry, et cetera. It's the only forum that we have. Yeah, if you're not here, if you're not attending, you're missing out not only on having an opportunity to update yourself on current issues, but look forward to, you know, what the future will hold here.
You're listening to Vanguard Radio, and we have had the privilege of speaking with Lieutenant General Mike Day. Mike, thanks for giving us a sneak peek of C4ISR and Beyond 2020. For those who'd like to know more, go to vanguardcanada.com/C4ISR2020. There are a few seats remaining, but it is first come, first serve. So please register today if you're interested. Michael, thank you so much for coming on the show.
It was great, and I appreciate the interest. And I'm really looking forward to learning a whole bunch.
Thank you.